the Ranger bullpen give up like 7 runs. They're up, what, 3-2 or whatever, and Sam Dyson comes in, and it's immediately 7-3. Like, they immediately give up 5 runs.
They should just signal to the scoreboard to put, like, 4 runs on the board like they do for Sam Dyson comes in. That's...
Episode 88 of There Is No Offseason, a baseball prospectus daily podcast focusing solely on Fantasy Keeper and Dynasty League formats. I am your host, Ben Carsley of the BP Fantasy Team, and I am joined by BP's managing editor, Brett Sayer, and BP's minor league editor, Craig Goldstein. So Brett, Craig, good to be back together for this episode. Craig, why don't you tell the nice people at home why we could not record last week?
I was busy in Argentina drinking much Malbec and or as I called it, Bienbec. That was a good one.
In your consumption of considerable amounts of cow product, is it fair to call you a beefy boy?
Oh yes, quite.
So even though last episode of Chino focused on beefy boys, you're actually an even beefier boy now.
Correct. I was going to say, I would argue that I've been a beefy boy the entire time.
Right.
I've furthered my status.
Craig is living the Chino brand.
That's right.
And frankly, for the listeners at home, I think it's worth the skipped week just to hear Craig talk about that. So
yeah,
what a rush.
Yeah, I'm sure they're thrilled.
Yeah, always. Okay, so we are going to pick up where we left off a few weeks ago when we sort of broke down all the happenings in the AL. Now we're going to do the same for the NL. And then at the very end, we'll also hit you with a few current events from the AL that we've missed out on. So, Brett, let's start in your neck of the woods in the NL East. And if we're going alphabetically by teams again, we're going to start with the Braves. And I think any discussion there probably has to start with Freddie Freeman and the end of what looks like it could be a pretty special season. Maybe not the end. I know he could still come back, but pretty big bummer in Dynasty.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's not a great injury just because it's a wrist. So, you know, you kind of assume that he's going to at least struggle a little bit to hit for power when he comes back. But he looked like one of the best hitters in baseball before he got hurt. So, the injury is a real bummer. But the most important thing is how much of the season would he have to miss for us to reinvigorate the Freddie Freeman versus Eric Hosmer debate?
4 years.
The rest of it.
That was good.
Is Brett, is Freeman, given what we saw, and I know the injury adds a little uncertainty, but is Freeman your number two dynasty first baseman now?
I want to see whether the plate discipline stuff holds up when he comes back, but I think right now he's got the inside track to that number two spot.
Fair enough. Elsewhere in Braves land, there's not a lot going on. Dansby Swanson had an atrocious start to the season, and while he's yet to be good, he's playing better, I believe. Trying to think of the rest of that roster. Oh, he's not really playing better. He's still hitting 204. So we don't even have to try to sugarcoat that one.
He's playing better. That's how bad he was in April.
Yeah. Fair enough.
He, his, uh, his May, and I lost it because I clicked off the page like a senior citizen who doesn't know how to use the internet. But in May, he is hitting 274, 397, 435.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. Well,
833 OPS in May.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Two homers and no steals, so fantasy-wise, not spectacular, but way better. He's not going to end up back in the minors.
Right. Elsewhere on the Braves, Tehran's having a bad year. I can't think of anything. Ender Inciarte is having a pretty good year after having a rough start.
Yeah, he's having like a what you thought he was kind of season.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Kemp having a great year offensively.
Second life for Matt Adams.
Hmm?
Wow. All right.
We're you talked over
Tyler Flowers.
Yeah, you talked over each other about Matt Adams and Tyler Flowers, and I got super sad.
I think that might mean it's time to move on to a different team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Johnson is spectacular.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can we the other thing that's interesting, not really from a dynasty perspective so much anymore, but two pitching prospects we once actually cared about are doing really well in setup roles in Atlanta, in Aroiz Vizcaino and Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
Get your dynasty league analysis while it's hot.
Yep. Love those 5-year-old pitching prospects that turn into pretty good relievers.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to talk about the other Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, he's definitely the other Jose Ramirez. That ship has sailed.
So if we slide down to the Marlins, I don't really see anything of note. Marcell Ozuna might be the only thing because he is super, super going off this year. He's at 307, 380, 554 with 11 bombs. And while that's a little bit BABIP driven, I mean, the power certainly looks real, and we saw a little bit of that last season.
Yeah, I think Ozuna is definitely worth talking about. He's been hitting the ball extremely hard this year, he's been showing the kind of power that, you know, I think we thought he had, but he hadn't been showing consistently over the past couple of years.
No, I didn't think he had this kind of power.
He's been more patient too.
Yeah, I mean, 20 home runs. He hit 23 last year. He had hit 23 in 2014. That seemed about reasonable to me. This is like 35 homer power. I don't think anyone saw Marcell Ozuna with 35 homers.
Is he pacing for 30? Yeah, I was mentally.
He's got 11. 30, he's got 11 right now. I mean, I was ballparking it, but over 30, right?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking along the lines of 30, not 35, but yeah.
Am I remembering incorrectly? Did people think he was a 30 homer bat at any point?
I thought at his peak from prospect days he was sort of 25 to 30.
Okay. I admit I just don't remember. So
yeah,
I'm more with Craig. I don't really recall that sort of prodigious power potential. Ooh, alliteration.
Hmm. Yeah.
Perfecto.
Either
Brett,
way,
do you go ahead.
I was just going to say the batting average is overinflated, but you know, if he continues to make contact that is this intense, he's going to have sort of an overperforming BABIP. So I wouldn't assume he's going to shrink down to being a 250, 255 hitter if his
BABIP is not. He's at 345 right now. He's had 320, 337, 326 in his past. I agree with you what you're saying. That's hardly the issue. I think where you're going to see the average tick down is he's at 27.5% homer per fly ball. He's never topped 17%. Yeah. So when those start landing, they're either going to be extra base hits or outs, as fly balls tend to be. So that's where you could see it tick down. But it's not going to be on balls in play. Those, you know what I mean? Those are balls that are going out of play right now.
Yeah, no, and but I think that he's been hitting the ball harder. I wouldn't be surprised if his underlying BABIP is higher than it's been so far in his career.
Sure, and it's not even like crazy out of control. So I agree with you. You can easily buy that.
Yep.
Brett, you sitting down, buddy?
I am sitting down.
Do you want to talk about the Mets?
Wait a minute. Can I ask, do either of you have the Marlins roster up right now?
I do.
Yes.
Oh, you both do? Damn it. Or have either of you looked at their pitchers?
I choose not to.
Because I would like people to, I'm not sure I could name three of their starting pitchers right now if I hadn't looked at them.
I would have gotten Strelian Volquez.
I would have gotten Chen also. Does he count?
He's not in there right now.
He's on the DL. I think I would have gotten to Nicolino. I would not have guessed Worley or Urena.
Yeah.
Vance Worley is just... that's something, man.
It really is.
The fact that Nicolino is only 25 is freaking me out.
I did not know that Odrysam Radispagne pitched a game for them.
Mm-hmm.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
Good God. That's horrifying.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mets?
I mean, Vance Worley could also be the number five starter for the Mets right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, Tommy Malone got hurt, so.
So there goes the season.
Yeah. You're going to need somebody.
Yeah. Sorry, Brett. As of right now.
Well, can we start with the positives?
Michael Conforto?
There are more than one positive?
And Bruce has been pretty good.
Bruce has been good, but
I don't know.
So where do you, I mean, I've been watching him pretty closely of late, but how confident are you guys in either his ability to hit for average, obviously not this much average, but ability to hit for average, or his ability to hit for power, even if the trend that he's on is probably unsustainable?
I mean, we're talking about Conforto?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Ben.
I mean, I think if Conforto just got left alone and was allowed to actually accrue between 500 and 600 plate appearances in a season, I think he would settle in as a high-end OF3, someone in like the 275 batting average range with 25 bombs, maybe 30 bombs in his best seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Ben said, 275 to 285 with 25 to 30 homers seems pretty reasonable at this point.
Yeah, I, you know, the strikeouts are still a little high for the batting average to really be there yet, but in watching him, it seems like as he gets more comfortable, he's going to strike out less, and I wonder whether eventually the batting average is going to be more of a carrying fantasy tool for him than the power. He's certainly been hitting for a lot of power recently, but I don't know how much I believe in sort of that next level power for him long term.
So you think he'll be closer to 280, 290 with 20 bombs than 270 with 25, 30?
Yeah, and in maybe a year or two, yeah, I think he might be closer to 290 with 20 to 25 homers than 270 with 30 homers.
I think there's a better chance he ends up as a the 290 hitter with, if he's going to hit 290, I find it hard to believe he's not going to get to the 25 to 30 range.
I think he'll be able to hit for average. I mean, he hits the ball all over the field. He's just getting very, he's constantly making really good contact. So the question is whether he can sort of dial back the whether he can dial back the strikeout rate. And, you know, maybe that's just part of the...
I don't think he needs to dial back. I'm confused about your focus on the strikeout rate. He's at 24%, which is not that crazy in today's baseball. And to hit two, you can strike out 24% and hit 290, can't you? Like, I don't know. I mean, I can buy into you saying it's not going to sustain 330, but... I don't think he needs to drop the strikeout rate or reduce his power to hit 290. I think if he's going to keep hitting 290, like if he's making that much contact, he is going to, because he's a strong guy who hits the ball, like he's at all fields. He hits his homers to all fields too. So I don't see where the reduction in power is coming from.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's a reduction in power. I'm not sure I'm buying the 30 homer-ness from him at this point. He's really good, though.
He's the bright spot. I mean, I feel bad doing this. I mean, Craig, do you want to talk about Thor? I feel bad making Brett talk about Thor.
I mean, I just traded him in a fantasy league, so I guess I can talk about him. It sucks. I mean, I don't know what to, so much of that is wrapped into the Mets medical team, right? Like in how they handle stuff, and it's really hard to disassociate Syndergaard's value from, like, he's someone who generally has been very good about like self-reporting injuries. He's been the guy, like, he'll push himself hard, but he'll also tell you when he's, you know, if he feels slightly off, that type of thing. And then you have the Mets medical team, which, like, you know, they had the whole thing with Matt Harvey and having him start on a day that, like, after he had just worked out, even though they knew that he wasn't going to start the night before. And I mean, like, I just don't know. I this is an injury that Syndergaard can come back from and be fine. But do you trust the Mets to handle that injury correctly or adequately even?
This injury, maybe. The next injury, probably not.
Yeah.
That's
well, and even if he is, like, mending, like, do you trust them that when they say he's ready to come back, he's actually ready to come back?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. I'm not saying none of that really played a part in my decision to trade him or anything like that, and I'm not saying it should. I don't know how much of a factor that should be in his long-term dynasty value. I don't know that there's a reasonable way to quantify that, but
no,
it
I think
it has to be something we think about, right?
Yeah, it is. It with any Mets player, especially a pitcher. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a major consideration, but there is something there. I mean, this point, they might as well start announcing injury. They might as well have Sean Spicer come in and start announcing pitching injuries. So, you know, that they'd be, everything would be just as reasonable. So, it's frustrating, but at least it's the kind of injury that he should come back from. I mean, all estimates are that he, so far, that they still think he'll be back, you know, sometime around the end of July. So, you know, hopefully he'll come back strong and be ready for a healthy 2018.
Sorry, Brett.
Yeah. In other non, like, overly negative news, Zach Wheeler is kind of back as the Zach Wheeler we thought we knew before he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being pretty good and not being super great to your ratios, but striking guys out and just generally being very usable. So that's been nice to watch.
Yeah. I mean the other thing we should talk about is probably Gesellman, considering just our recent history. Yeah, I mean, I know, but we should probably talk about him. Brett, I have not watched, like, sat down and watched him a ton this year. Have you?
I have watched him. I haven't watched him as much as some of the other starters, but he should not be as hittable as he's been. And I think he's just I think he's just not locating his pitches well, and he's leaving them out over the plate, and he's I don't know what his BABIP is. I don't have it in front of me, but my guess is it's extraordinarily high.
But in a way he's earned it, as in, like, you're saying he shouldn't be as hittable as he is, but he's, if his command is off, then
yeah, it's a little bit of both. Yeah. Stuff
wise, it's 364 right now.
Yeah, stuff wise, he hasn't fully earned it, but command wise, he has earned it. So half and half. I do still think that there is, I don't think anybody should be giving up on him in a dynasty. I still think the raw material is there for him to be, pretty solid fourth starter.
Correct me if I'm wrong, was the velocity, I mean, not that we can fully accurately read velocity right now, but was down a little bit, right?
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that he might be pitching through something right now that's like nagging but not substantial, which a Mets pitcher would never.
Right. Yeah, that's just uncalled for.
But yeah, I mean, it's obviously not going well for us. It's been a really rough start. I still think the ceiling is there. I still think I'd like to see him when he looks healthier or more like the guy we saw at the end of last season. As to whether that guy shows up this year or going forward, I don't know. That's a tougher call.
Yeah, but he's 23. He's got time to work this out.
Yep.
Just want to give him a shout out because after years and years of being the last person in on Mets starting pitching prospects, I decided to hop on board and be aggressive with you guys. And here we are. So really, if you're looking for someone to blame, it's probably my fault.
Good.
All right. That's probably everyone that's interesting to talk about here.
Well, I guess Addison Reed, right? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, Addison Reed,
Addison
Reed was the Mets' best reliever last year, and he's really good. He doesn't walk anybody anymore, and the slider is his added velocity since he came to New York. And
that never happens in New York.
I know. He was a good. He was a good match with Dan Worth and with his repertoire and sort of his strengths, and he's been playing to those strengths. I'm confident enough in him that I think he's pretty easily a top 15 closer the rest of the way. I think
that was my question. That was going to be my question: is how high do you have him as a closer?
I think he's a top half closer.
Ben, did you want to weigh in?
I prefer him to Hector Neris.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I was going to say maybe like a... I was going to say maybe on like the back end of the top 10 guy.
I was just trying to move it to the Phillies.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Segways, huh? Well.
I know. I really should have warned you guys before I tried to actually do that well.
Right, well. Let's move on.
Okay. So with the Phillies, again, not a ton except for the pretty notable exception of Aaron Altherr, who I think we all came out and said, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I was sort of saying he's not going to do anything, people who are asking me. And he's hitting .313, .397, .617 with 8 homers, and the job is very much his. So, I mean, Brett, I'm assuming we don't think he's going to keep this pace up, but do you view him as someone who can, be an OF 4 or 5, or do you think this is just sort of an arbitrary hot streak?
I think it can be both. I mean, I think it is a hot streak, but I think there's probably enough power potential, especially in that park, for him to be, a usable outfielder in most size leagues. They don't have to mutually exclude. He's sure as I'm not going to hit 300, but I was actually just putting together a first wave of re-rankings for redraft leagues just for 2017 for the outfield, and I was kind of struggling with where to put him, and I was, you know, it's the same argument when you try to value him in dynasty, and I think he'll do enough of this to get playing time, which is half the battle, because playing time in that park with his swing is going to result in, you know, probably at least 20 to 25 homer power. If there's enough with it, then yeah, he's absolutely a, you know, back end outfielder in mixed leagues.
Feel the excitement.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I don't know that I was on record as thinking he'd be, spectacular or anything. My biggest problem was they seem to not want to give him time by signing Michael Saunders and trading for Howie Kendrick to play, you know, outfield. Those were indications to me that the organization wasn't really interested in giving him time. Now, Michael Saunders and Howie Kendrick being a combination of hurt and bad enough for him to get time shouldn't have been a big surprise. But I think he was always talented. I certainly didn't think this was going to happen, though. And it wouldn't surprise me if kind of whatever Brett said came to fruition.
Okay. So if we go to the opposite side of young Phillies, Vince Velasquez is not having a good go of it after having a pretty promising 2016. I know his end numbers weren't great, but there was a stretch last year where Vince Velasquez looked, like a potential number two or three starter. He's still missing plenty of bats. He's also still walking plenty of bats, more so than ever. And he's flirting with a 6 ERA. So, I mean, Craig, do you see this as the type of situation where the Phillies will just let him sort of wear it this year because they need him moving forward? Or is he getting to the point where his performance is so bad that he might need a stint in AAA?
So he's an interesting case, and there's a lot of risk kind of built into the profile, not only because he walks so many guys, but also right now he's giving up an absurd number of home runs, which was a bit of his problem last year too. And he's got great stuff, but the command is not great because of the quality of the stuff a little bit, and the control obviously is an issue. But beyond that, he also has health as an issue. And so he's someone who a lot of people thought, even when back when he was a Houston prospect, that he was bound for the bullpen.
Right.
And I think that even if they don't send him to AAA, you could see him make that transition if they wanted to work one of their other prospects into the rotation. I mean, you know, right now Aaron Nola just got back recently and he's healthy. Eflin has looked – he had one blow-up start, I think, but in general he's looked – pretty good. Eichhoff has been solid. They still have Jeremy Hellickson for reasons I can't ascertain. And then you have Jake Thompson, who's been okay at AAA. You have Nick Pivetta, who struggled in a brief call up. But you know, those are still guys who, if Velasquez continues to struggle and they wanna give those guys a shot, you maybe see him either go down to AAA to work on some things, or you know, maybe find himself in the bullpen a little bit. It might be a permanent move, or he might be someone who benefits from kind of that Earl Weaver methodology of breaking guys in the bullpen to let them kind of air it out and realize, you know, I can be in the zone as much as I want. But yeah. I don't know if that really is going to help Velasquez, considering how many home runs he gives up right now. You know, being in the zone is a little bit part of his problem, given that's the wrong part of the zone. So
you would hope this wouldn't really factor into consideration for a team as committed to rebuilding as the Phillies do. But the Phillies bullpen is a tire fire. So even if that swings them a little more toward letting him air it out in the bullpen.
But they're kind of on the upswing of that. Of that rebuild, right? I mean, their prospects are coming up or here, and to that end, like, you don't want to lose in disheartening ways over and over and over again. So I could see them valuing, you know, getting the wins that like their starters deserve, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah,
where
yeah, that's
like
fair.
You don't want to let the starter down or the.
teams, well, not that many, but we've seen some teams get more creative with bullpen usage this year. And, you know, for all the arms the Phillies currently have, you know, Velasquez is the kind of guy who, if you wanted to, you could turn him into sort of a 90 to 100 inning reliever who could pitch multiple innings and be pretty valuable in a role like that. But,
well, assuming his body could hold up to it, yeah.
Assuming it could, yeah. But we're not there yet.
Yeah, but I agree. He is an interesting, you know, multi-inning guy if you wanted to go Davinsky with him or whatever.
All right, so we did this last time we recorded too, where we spent like 12 minutes on the first four teams and had to fly through the rest. So I'm going to start moving us on a little faster, but just real quick before we move on from the Phillies. I'm not terribly worried about Herrera or Franco to this point. I mean, Herrera has a long enough track record that I think he'll turn it around, and Franco's BABIP is like, you know, 0.1. Either of you guys more concerned on those two before we go to the Nationals?
I've never been a Franco guy. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little more concerned than I thought I would be on Herrera. I still believe in him. But the approach is kind of gone down the toilet a little bit this year, he can get that back, but you know, that was part of the appeal to start with, that he, you know, he had jumped up his walk rate last year, and the strikeouts have never been a huge problem, but his strikeout rate is definitely up this year. He's also not running all that much. He's attempted 7 steals and only been successful 4 times. There are some red flags, but I think he's talented enough to snap out of it.
I agree.
Fair enough. Hopping over to the Nationals, I don't believe we'd spoken about the Adam Eaton injury last time, right? I think that was a little before that happened.
I might have thrown it in there. Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, who knows? Either way, I mean, okay, Eden's out for the year, but Craig, I know you and I have always had a little bit of interest, at least in Michael Taylor. You know, what are you hoping he can do? What's like a reasonable, like, you know, 80th percentile sort of Michael Taylor production line for him this season?
That's a good question. He's someone who, you know, like, The talent was kind of always there, but it's been more of a, I mean, there's the playing time and really, I guess, the performance, if we want to come right down to it. But I think something in the vein of 240, 310, I don't know. He's been such a weird guy. He's just been so bad his entire career.
So all over the place, too.
Yeah, it's hard to, that's, it's tough, right? I mean,
That's why I asked you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate that. I don't know. He's also like, he's hitting better than he ever has before at this very moment, and also not running very much, which you would have thought was like the one thing he might do.
Right.
Which is super aggravating. I don't know. Brett, can you bail me out?
I can bail you out a little bit. I think he, at best, I think you're looking at sort of a poor man's Kevin Kiermaier.
Okay.
In that I think he could probably hit 250, 255 and steal maybe 20 bases, hit 10 to 15 homers.
Okay. I mean, that's Kevin Kiermaier. That's not a poor man's Kevin Kiermaier.
Well, Kevin Kiermaier right now is a poor man's Kevin Kiermaier, but we're not talking about the American League.
I mean, but last year he hit 240 with 12 homers and 20 steals. So, I mean, what? Anyway.
I thought he stole more bases than that.
Okay,
he steal almost 30 bases?
He stole 21 bases last year.
Oh, fuck. That's not a lot.
Okay.
So he's Kevin Kiermaier.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. 85th percentile is around that. Yeah, I think that, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Are you higher than that, Ben? Since I know, like you said, you and I have been higher on him.
Um, I think that it okay. Well,
he's a tough nut to crack. He's gonna make all of us stumble.
In a different universe, in a different season, where he would get 600 major league plate appearances, I think he could steal more than 20 bases. But he's not really on pace to do so this season, and I don't think there are going to be that many alternate years where he gets that much playing time in the majors. So playing time is, I think, at least half the battle for him. I think he'll always be a guy who sort of, you know, needs an injury or needs to be on a second division team to get a ton of playing time. I do think he has a little more speed than we're giving him credit for, even if he's not showing it right now, but that doesn't really help us right now either. It's probably more time than either of you were expecting to spend on Michael Taylor tonight.
Sure as hell was.
Yep, definitely more time.
Well, the good news is there's no one else really worth talking about on the Nationals. So, Ryan Zimmerman, I know, but I mean, is there anything instructive to say about Ryan Zimmerman other than just enjoy it while it lasts?
He's the best player in the National League now.
Yeah, which is good.
Enjoy it while it lasts. I think obviously the injury risk is still there, but I think it serves as a good reminder that he still has the skill to go on hitting runs. I think the last couple of years have been pretty rough to him, but the tweaks that he's made is have clearly left him with the ability to be a starter in every league when he's healthy. And that's all.
All right. Well, we're only over 35 minutes into the pod, and we are getting to our second division. So just flying through.
Welcome to Tina.
Yeah. Brett, because we made you sit through Thor talk earlier, do you want to talk about Ian Happ for the Cubs?
Yeah.
I know. I don't want to hear it, but I mean, it's fair.
It is fair.
He's up and he's hitting right in the middle of that lineup, and he's hitting for power. It's really nice. I don't think he's going to stick for the whole year. I think at some point he's going to slump, and they're going to have a roster crunch, and they're going to send him back down. But I think this is kind of what to expect from him. I think he can hit for. I know I have long been the Ian Happ supporter, but oh, he's got seven extra base hits in 9 games since he came up, and he's got a solid approach. He hasn't run yet. I still think there's some. I still think he will run a little bit eventually, maybe sort of in the 10 to 15 steal range. But yeah, I think the odds of him being a second baseman are pretty far gone at this point. But he can certainly be plenty valuable if he's a 270 to 280 hitter with, you know, 20 to 25 homers and double digit steals.
All right, and now we don't have to be nice to Brett anymore. Craig, is Addison Russell good? Dynasty, is he good?
I think he could be good. How's that for a hedge?
I'm sold, because I feel pretty similarly, but I think he's pretty overrated in Dynasty right now.
Yeah, I think one day he's going to hit for power and an okay average, and that's going to be okay. But like when you put him in context of the current era of shortstops and consider that he's not really doing even what I just described yet, I don't know what he is ranked right now among shortstops, but like even if you want to build in some optimism, is he a top 10 shortstop?
No, not for me.
In dynasty leagues?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that says everything, right?
But no.
Well, okay, yeah, and that's fine, but this that kind of says everything you need to know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sad about it too. He's got great eyes, but
yeah, I mean, I think he's still a good MLB. And people listening to this podcast don't really need to hear his disclaimer. Just talking dynasty.
You mean you're not ready to say that Billy Bean won the trade?
We have not allocated enough time for a Ben Carsley Billy Bean rant on tonight's episode of Tino. Maybe next time. Jason Hayward has a pulse.
Yeah, true.
I think that might be it for the Cubs too. Eddie Butler is starting.
No, I'm not. We don't have time for an Eddie Butler detour. That's okay. Not.
That's fair.
We have to go in the, well, I guess not the other direction of Addison Russell. What are you doing about, how are you valuing Kyle Schwarber?
Who are you asking?
Either of you.
I mean, I think we know how Brett's valuing him.
Ben, do you know his line right now?
I don't. Do you want me to guess?
Yeah, go ahead. Guess his line. Brett, don't look it up. I'm going to make you guess too.
All right.
I don't know. He's still looking for power, right? So I'll say like 230, 300. Fuck. I don't know how to do slugging percentage in my head. I know he has like 7 or 8 homers. So what is that, like a 400 slugging percentage?
Okay. Yeah, he has 7 homers. Brett?
I was going to say 190, 320, 380.
Okay. He's 186, 306, ooh, 365, and 183 plate appearances.
Yeah.
Concerns?
I mean, more concerned than I was at the beginning of the year, but he missed all of last year, and I still think he is going to be.
But Brett, he hit a double or something in the World Series, so he was back.
He was back. I know. Everyone forgot that he missed the whole season.
Yeah, no one did not hear about it. No, but I mean, obviously the walks are great, but if you're how are you if you're trading for Kyle Schwarber, how do you figure that out? Like, how do you figure out what you're either whether you're trading him away or trading for him? Like, what are you
moving? I mean, from a stat line perspective or from a ranking perspective?
From a ranking perspective. I'm assuming, I mean, 183, it's 2 months of the season, but that's a staggeringly bad line.
Yeah, it's not great.
That's like Jason Hayward last year.
With more power.
And less average a little bit, but yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I think in, where was he ranked? I don't have the rankings coming into the season. That's probably.
You want the TVG 500?
Or just the Dynasty rankings, or the BP Dynasty rankings.
Oh.
Let me get there. I'll get there.
Doing a great job going faster.
Yeah, no, we're crushing it. He was 35th on the top 500 in March.
He was 35th. Okay.
Overall?
Mm-hmm.
Christ,
bro. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I still think he's going to be an excellent hitter. I would not have him 35th if I were ranking it right now, but if he's out of the top 50, it would not be by much.
Ben?
I mean, it's just not a fair comparison because he wouldn't even have been.
No, okay. So let's say you had him 60, you know, 30 spots lower, 65th.
I mean, I guess my long-term outlook for him hasn't changed that much, but my long-term outlook still would have been. I mean, I don't think he would have been 60 for me. I think he would have been closer to flirting with the back of the top 100.
Okay.
I agree that, like, long-term, this hasn't moved the needle a ton for me, but long-term, I never thought he was going to be what Brett thought he was either.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, we're looking at 3 years of his career, and he missed, obviously, all of 2016, but his 2015 season was good, not great, and as George aptly pointed out in our chat here, he's not a catcher anymore. So I really question the value of what you're getting from him overall as a left fielder, right? I mean, there's certainly value there, but it's not. I don't think he's special.
Well, yeah. I mean, in 2015, he hit 16 home runs in 69 games.
Yeah, he also hit 246.
He did, but that's a, you know, that's pretty close to a 40 home run pace.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite 40. I think that's like around, it's around half a season for him. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's special, and I don't know. I would be willing to move him. Anyway, we should move on.
Agreed.
We should move on, but it was nice to branch out and talk about Kyle Schwarber. I feel like he's a guy we don't touch on often enough in Tino.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go to another feel-good topic, the St. Louis Cardinals. We don't need to rehash the Alex Reyes stuff. Mike Leake is the best pitcher on earth because Cardinals. Not sure there's a ton else here that's crazy. Do you guys see anyone across the diamond we should focus on?
The only guy who I wanted to bring up was Jed Jerko. he's been playing and hitting quite well.
Sure, that's accurate.
It is.
Yeah, sounds like Jed Jerko. Except not, but
yeah, I still don't think he'll be very good, if I'm being honest.
I find the Cardinals all second baseman infield to be interesting.
It's sad.
It's quite an approach to defensive construction of an infield. They need to trade for Corey Spangenberger and put him in left. Let's see how many second basemen we can get in one.
Did you call him Corey Spangenberger?
Is there no er?
There's no er.
Well, there Austin Barr. Austin Barnes can sort of play second, so we could put him behind the plate.
Yeah, I like where this is going.
Yeah. I don't know, is there a second base
center field? You can certainly get a second baseman.
Just start Garcia at second base and play Wong in the outfield. They've been doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
No, play George Wong in center
Taylor
field.
Taylor is an emergency. He does not play the outfield, aside from tonight. Enrique Hernandez actually plays center a decent amount. And then, then you just need a right fielder.
Ben Zobrist.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. All right. That'd be exciting.
Yeah.
And it turns out Aledmys Diaz is not actually good.
Yeah. Yep, he's not. I mean, he's a little bit better than this, but he's not. He's
maybe,
not.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep. You know who else is not good, but people are going to say is good, is Travis Shaw. But Travis Shaw is not good.
Okay, look at this.
Don't buy into this. It's not happening. Remember when everyone thought Travis Shaw was good at this time last year, too?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. It's coming. It's coming. I will give you credit that... No. The strikeout rate is a little down, but he's also basically halved his walk rate, so it's coming.
That's not a great trade-off.
No, it's super, super not a good trade-off.
No. That said, the park is friendlier to him in Milwaukee than it was in Boston.
I don't think enough so to really swing his value.
No, not a ton, but a couple homers here and there, though.
Brett, how are you? Where are you on Jonathan VR right now? He's had a bad start to the year.
He has. I'd be buying him if the person who has him is just kind of freaking out that they either invested in or did not trade VR. From his peak last year, but the steals are still quite valuable, and even if he's not running at the same pace as last year, he's still got 12 steals, and he's got 5 home runs. So, you know, the batting average just needs to tick up a little bit, and I think it will tick up. I don't think he's going to hit 220, but you know, I think 250 is probably realistic for him.
Yeah,
if he's 250 with 15 homers and 40 steals, then that's really
you're fine.
That's really pretty good.
Yeah, Ben, Keon Broxton is doing everything people wanted him to do. But are you, if you had him, you're probably happy with what he's done so far? Are you looking to move him because the underlying stats are?
Yep, I am fairly aggressive. I'm fairly aggressively shopping Broxton. This also, I mean, this isn't old for a dynasty league, but I think he's older than people realize. He's already 27 too.
Right.
So I'm definitely, I'm not going to take, 40 cents on the dollar for him, but I am aggressively shopping Broxton in dynasty.
But you probably take less than a guy with 4 homers, 10 steals, who's hitting 270.
Yes.
You would normally take for that. But like 39% strikeout rate. His walk rate has dropped 8 percentage points since last season. It's concerning.
Well, I know he's fast, and his BABIP is 440.
440. Yeah, it's upsetting.
He's not that fast.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, we've talked Eric Thames to death in the past. Yeah. Domingo Santana has been okay, right?
My boy. Yeah, he's been okay. I don't know. They just have so many types of these players.
Yeah.
You know, they have so many role, like 45 players.
Yeah, they're doing with 45 players what the Cardinals are doing with second baseman.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. Just Travis Shaw, Domingo Santana, Keon Broxton, Hernan Perez. They're just everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe Orlando Arcia.
Ouch.
Yeah.
No, but that's fair.
It's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, do you think gets squeezed out for Lewis Brinson at some point? Because I'm guessing he comes up.
Yeah, I think it'll end up being Broxton because I think he will slump.
Yeah.
But if he does not, if he doesn't, I mean, it'll be Santana.
Yeah, or Braun gets traded, I guess, potentially. But
yeah,
it's possible. I mean, it's certainly more likely than it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
While we're finishing up the Brewers, I feel like we should give an old school Roto-Lando shout out to Jesus Aguilar, who somehow has a 903 OPS.
That's only proper.
73 at bats. It is.
And we should further thank Rotolando by not speaking about any Brewer who throws with a baseball in his hand.
Yes. Let's move on.
Okay. Sounds good. Corey Knebel's closing. There you go. There's
all your
hot Brewer news from the rotation. Pirates are next in this division, right?
Yeah. Garrett Cole is back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some Garrett Cole.
Yep.
Adam Frazier is kind of a thing.
Yeah. I think I talked about him when Marte got suspended.
Yeah, like brought it.
He's really, he's hit. I mean, he can really hit. Like it's mostly an empty average, if I'm recalling correctly. But he can do that.
Yeah, and he raked all throughout the minors too, and even in college, right? Wasn't he?
Yeah.
So I think the other thing we should talk about briefly is Josh Bell.
Josh Bell he's kind of just been Josh Bell.
I mean, I thought the average would be better and the power would be worse. I did not have Josh Bell pegged for 9 homers.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, that's fair. Just 507 slug. I mean, that was the question on him, right? People, like you said, you thought the average would be better. But you'll take this version. I mean, really.
Oh, absolutely, especially because the underlying stats are pretty damn encouraging. I mean, he's being hurt in BABIP right now, and he's not exactly fleet of foot, so that's not going to help. But
he doesn't strike out a ton for a power guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So overall, I mean, I think if you own Josh Bell in Dynasty League, you have to be thrilled with the first 2 months of the season.
Yep, I agree. Brett, I mean, you just pulled the trigger on a McCutchen trade. Do you want to check in on him?
I did. I'm not giving up on McCutchen by any means. I just for a little bit of context, I traded him in a 20-team dynasty that uses on-base percentage for I traded him and AJ Griffin for Jason Kipnis and Sungwon Oh. And I felt pretty, I did not intend to trade McCutchen, but I felt pretty good about that return. It filled a need for my team. I had a severe hole at middle infield and at closer, but I do think that McCutchen is going to bounce back, not to the point that he was. I think he can bounce back to being a 275 hitter with 20 homers and, you know, maybe 5 to 10 steals, which I think is a totally reasonable OF3. But, you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that McCutchen has 5 steals already this year after really barely running at all last year. The batting average is just in the pits, and some of it is a BABIP thing, but he's making weak contact, and he's rolling over on balls that he was driving 2 or 3 years ago. When he first slumped, I had concern there was an underlying injury. It's kind of beyond that point now, where I don't think this is still an underlying injury issue. Maybe it's a mechanical issue, but, you know, the one thing I never do with guys like McCutchen, who are, you know, bona fide fantasy superstars, is you never assume that they can't make the adjustment that they need to make. So I do think he's going to make that adjustment. I think the Andrew McCutchen we were hoping to see this year is just never coming back.
Yep.
That's sad.
It is sad.
It's definitely sad.
Otherwise, I mean, Ivan Nova has been great, but also strikes nobody out.
Yeah.
So him, I don't know.
Him and Jeremy Hellickson are doing they're doing the whole, so if you guys are just gonna swing like crazy a lot, I'm just gonna throw all strikes.
Yeah, and they don't. I mean, he doesn't walk anyone. He has a 1.6 walk rate, 1.6% walk rate right now.
He is Carlos Silva-esque.
Yeah. Ugh.
Wow, Brett.
That's rude.
Oh, I mean, he is one of the original Beefy Boys.
Tyler Glass now not going great, but predictably so.
I was gonna say kind of not going great in the way you would guess if it wasn't gonna go well.
Yeah, I mean, we always said that he would be a whip risk, but he has a 193 whip.
Is it now is that bad?
It's bad.
Oh, okay.
Giving up considerably more hits than Enya provided in her career. Welcome back to episode 88 of Tino. I hope you used that break to appreciate the fact that we totally and entirely focused on all 10 teams in the AL East and, NL East and NL Central, and that we did not miss a single organization, and that none of the organizations that we didn't miss were on purpose. So we're going to finish off by going to the NL West, and we'll try to go a little faster, which shouldn't be too hard considering that two of the teams in the NL West are the Giants and Padres. But we'll keep going with alphabetically, and we'll start with the Diamondbacks. Craig, you wanna just riff on Chris Owings and make me smile for like 45 seconds?
He's a beautiful man, isn't he?
He's good.
Yeah, he is. His shoulder is back to full health, and he's hitting for a very good average. I would expect that to come down. A 392 BABIP is not gonna last, but I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like I'd be happy with 280. right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's in play. He's not walking a ton, but that's okay. He's hitting the ball a lot, and he's hitting for more power than I ever expected, and he's already at 9 stolen bases. So I think 20 steals, 10 or 12 homers is probably in play, and with a .280 average, that's incredible value, especially from, you know, where he was coming from entering the season.
And a good number of runs in that lineup, too.
Yeah, and that's right, and they're hitting, so... And he hits at the top of the order, right? So, yeah, it's a good spot to be. I think he's gonna. It's good to see that he was able to kind of hold off, I don't know, Nick Ahmed in that situation.
Yeah, well, things aren't going great when you can't hold off Nick Ahmed. So
it's been an issue in the past. So it was
I know for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think for him the big thing is, you know, he worked on the swing and his shoulder got healthy. I mean. Yeah, the big argument with him was it was Drury, Kettle Marte and him.
Yeah.
And so I mean the other thing is that Kettle Marte is hitting .392. It's AAA, it's Reno, but he's hitting .392. I mean he it's a good thing he's gotten off to a hot start, and I expect him to maintain it because there's a good chance, you know, if they wanted to make a swap that Marte would get a call here.
Yeah, for sure. And even, you know, Drury isn't having a terrible season, but he'd be the one to go. Not always.
Right, right. That's the point, is that, yeah, he's out hitting Drury. So, you know, that gives you a little more luxury.
Well, he really, I mean, he could just out hit Nick Ahmed while AJ Pollock's out. But
True.
Pollock is certainly no bet to stay healthy.
I was going to say, but, you know, Pollock will be back any second now. Brett, is any MLB star having a quieter bounce back season than Zach Greinke?
No, he's been
phenomenal.
He's been really good. He's been almost, he's been just about 2015 Greinke, you know, with some slightly different luck. But his underlying numbers are phenomenal. He's been an easy SP1 this year, and he certainly looks the part too. I mean, I don't see any reason why he won't keep this up.
So, Craig, Greinke is the number 5 starting pitcher on ESPN's Player Writer right now. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is number 1. Guess who 2 through 4 are?
Oh,
one is super obvious. One is not tough. The other is very tough.
Oh, I'm gonna look bad here. Man, I don't know. Cueto?
Nope.
No, that's not good. Sale.
Sale is 2.
Yeah, okay. Was he the super obvious one?
Yes.
Okay.
Was Chris Sale the super obvious
one? Well, I don't know. I was like, God, is there someone more obvious than that? I don't know.
There's another lefty.
Has Lester been that good?
Close, but no.
Okay.
Actually not close.
Has he been, I don't know. Brett, save me.
The lefty you're looking for, I believe, is Dallas Keuchel.
That is correct.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
He's at 4, Sale's at 2. Who is at 3?
Good.
I could give you my guess, and I think he's going to be the unexpected one, but is it Irvin Santana?
It is Irvin Santana.
Wow.
Come on down. You win a prize.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, your prize is you now have to roster Irvin Santana forever.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, moving around the rest of the diamond. I don't think there's anything crazy to talk about. Pollock is hurt. Walker is on the DL with a blister, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so not a lot to talk about there. Yeah.
Jake Lamb is like playing like a star right now.
Jake Lamb is playing just about exactly like he did in the first half of last year before he was god-awful in the second half. So.
Yeah, I'm not buying the second half. I am buying Jake Lamb. I'm not. I don't think the second half is going to happen.
Aren't you full enough of meat?
But lamb is better than beef. So
yeah, I had some world class lamb in Argentina as well. So.
And somehow it's May 24th, but Fernando Rodney is still the closer, and I would have bet the under, even given how bad the rest of that bullpen is. So.
I have a quiz for you guys. How many outings has Fernando Rodney given up runs this season? Fernando Rodney has pitched 18 games. How many times has he pitched? Well, how many times has he given up at least one run?
13.
Ben?
11.
Those are terrible guesses. The answer is 2.
Wait, what?
2. He has given up, 5. Whoa. I missed 2 of them. Only 5.
Wait, you said it was 2, you missed 2.
You missed 2 of them, so it's 5?
It's 5. Yeah, it's 5. He actually has 13.
Whatever you're drinking, drink either more or less of it.
He has a terrible, terrible ERA, but 13 of his 18 appearances have been scoreless. So that's why he hasn't blown that many saves. He's only blown 2 saves.
Yeah. I guess, there is some effect that he gave up 5 runs and 3 runs back-to-back. He gave up 3 runs and 2 runs in back-to-back games. So,
yep.
Yeah.
So if you see him blow a save, just take him out of your lineup that next day.
Yeah, he's also walked 9 in 16 innings, so.
Oh, he's not good, but that's why he hasn't been removed from the job.
Yeah.
All right.
Craig, is streaming rookie Rockies starters the new market inefficiency?
100% yes.
Yeah, just do it.
They basically only have rookie starters or sophomore starters, so
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. The oldest guy in their rotation right now is not yet 28.
And that's without Jeff Hoffman.
Right, that's without Jeff Hoffman.
And without John Gray.
And without John Gray. So, yeah. I can't explain them. They're very good. I mean, guys, that's the way I would explain it. But
I picked up Kyle Freeland last week in labor, and I picked up German Marquez this week in labor. So I own both of them in that league. It's very exciting.
I was going to say, the only guy who I might buy in a little bit on is Freeland.
Yeah.
And I'd still be judicious about when I use him, but...
63% ground balls for Freeland.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I would buy on Freeland. My concern on him at this point is health rather than talent, you know?
That's fair.
But yeah, I think he's absolutely serviceable number 4 fantasy starter, something like that.
What a world we live in.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of what a world we live in, is Greg Holland a top 5 closer again?
I mean, right now, yeah.
I mean, and the strikeouts are back too. It's not like he's just getting the saves.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. No,
he looks excellent.
I mean, he already has 19 saves.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I don't know what really interesting is going on here. I mean, okay. Trevor Story is...
Let me pose it. I was going to say, that's the guy I'm going to bring up. What are you doing with Trevor Story?
Regretting I didn't trade him last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was never... I don't think he's this bad, but I was never super high on Story.
I ended up with
him. Too bad we're not getting, like, a story a week on... Or an article a week on Story like we did last year.
I know. I owned him in exactly one league, and I traded him last June.
I know it makes no sense, but it is the Rockies. I wonder if we see Ian Desmond as short at some point.
Oh, no. I think we might.
A lot
of sense, and I think we absolutely will.
Yeah, especially with the way Mark Reynolds is hitting. I think that was the other name to bring up.
I mean,
yeah, if David Dahl actually comes back at some point, then you start to have a crunch in the outfield.
He's on the verge of coming back.
He's been on the verge of coming back for 5 years.
But that, yeah, exactly.
He's playing, I believe.
Yeah, but if he's on the verge of playing again, that just means he's on the verge of being injured again.
Well, fair.
Yeah. Alexi Amarista has a 976 OPS.
Okay, that's our cue to go to the Dodgers.
Wait a minute, though. Mark Reynolds is hitting 319, 396, 575, with 12 homers. Would anyone like to guess if I set the over-under on his strikeout rate at 28.5, are you going over or under, Brett?
The rest of the season?
Sure. Do you know what it's at now?
It's lower than that now.
The way you phrased the question.
Yeah, fair enough. What do you think it is, Ben?
Well, would you say 28.5?
Yeah.
You want me to take the over? I will say it is 23.1%.
Oh, you're looking at it. Very good.
Well played.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, he's a 30% strikeout guy for his career.
Yeah.
But so are you buying this?
He's been weird. His strikeout rate has slowly gotten better almost every year since he was like the best he was in fantasy. So
yeah,
as
he's also
gotten
hit
worse,
for way less power than this.
Better. Yeah.
So like, are you buying the combination of power and hit?
I mean, not a ton, but enough. Who would you rather trade if you were in a dynasty league and you needed to fill a corner infield spot and we're going to trade sort of a prospect but not someone you'd miss? Would you target Mark Reynolds or Ryan Zimmerman?
I'd take Zimmerman.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so would I. But
would you take Reynolds or Lucas Duda?
I still like Lucas Duda. Don't ask me. I'm not a good person to ask about Lucas Duda.
Ben?
For this year or for Dynasty?
I mean, you're filling a gap. I for a middle, you know, for a corner infielder. I don't know.
If I'm filling the gap, then I'm saving Reynolds.
Yeah, me too. Which is amazing because he's blind.
He is blind.
Yeah, but I'm actually so. I don't even see that. That's how not biased against handicaps I am. I'm not ableist.
So the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers. We already talked about Cody Bellinger. I don't know. Craig, what else we got to talk about?
Yasmani Grandal is very good.
He is very good.
He enjoys hitting for the power.
Yeah. I mean, he was so bad until the middle of June last year. That I think if you look at seasonal numbers, it really puts a damper on things. And he was exceedingly good the second half of the year. And he's kind of just picked up where he, I mean, he's hitting for power. He's also hitting 298. So I don't know. Is he where is he among catchers for you, Brett, in a dynasty league?
I'm not confident that I am not forgetting someone as I think about this, but isn't he number three?
Well,
who am I missing behind Posey and Sanchez? Who's
Luke Roy was the guy before then.
Yeah, but I think I'm at the point where I'd take Grandal.
There's an argument. I guess there's not really. In Dynasty, you could flirt with Wilson Contreras in Dynasty. You could flirt with him.
Yeah, you could.
The argument for Luke Roy is he's better than he's been this year, and Grandal is never going to hit for average like this forever. I still think in Dynasty value, given what it's a 3-year age gap, and Grandal is on the younger side of that, I would take Grandal over Luke Roy at this point, too.
Yeah, that's fair.
Outside of that, yeah, I don't, there's not, I mean, the rotation is a mess, but
yeah.
Yeah, we already argued about Alex Wood once this year, so.
Yeah, we didn't see that again.
Brandon McCarthy's been pretty good.
He has been. Kenta Maeda not so great.
And will be until he gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, Yaziel Puig is bad again.
He is maybe the most confusing player for me in baseball.
He's still got 8 homers and 5 steals. I mean, yes, he has not been good, but this bad version of Puig is better than the recent bad version of Puig that we saw.
Yeah, and he also has been. I have not checked his exit velo numbers, but like a 241 BABIP, and he's not striking out a ton. He is walking a lot. He's not hitting I mean, he's hitting the ball on the ground the same as he did last year, basically a little bit better than last year, hitting the ball in the air a little bit more. But he was at a 306 BABIP last year, 241 this year. It seems like he's just getting a little bit unlucky right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not that discouraged by him, but you know, the sexy stats are good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a big thing for me, by the way, is that one of the most frustrating things about Puig for me last year is how often he would pop up. He had a 23% infield fly ball rate last year, which is a nightmare. It's down to 11 this year. So, you know, again, the fact that he has such a low BABIP despite cutting down on pop-ups is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's it for Major League Baseball teams.
Yeah, we've done it.
Yeah, good job, everybody.
Yeah. I know before the pod we talked
about it. We got to every team, Ben.
Every Major League Baseball team we discussed.
We got to. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. In pretty good time. Yeah. Do we want to talk about Bradley Zimmer and or Anthony Alford at all? Other to say than they're up.
They're definitely up.
All right. Well, I think that...
Dude, I'll make one quick comment just because I feel like we haven't talked about him in a long time and he's not up now, but I feel sad for Dalton Pompey because he would absolutely have been the person that the Blue Jays kind of turn to at this point if he were healthy. And I still think he has some dynasty value, and I don't know when he's going to get back on the field or whether he's going to get back on the field this year in time for any of it to matter. But he's I feel sad that he's not up.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, Alford, I don't know that he's going to – he's still up, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced he'll stick, but he was very good, again, at AA, and I think on his way to establishing himself as, you know, somewhere in the range of a top 50 prospect again, because he always had that ability, and he was off to a great start. He wasn't striking out a ton or anything, which he did do a little bit of last year, and he was doing it at AA. So I don't know. He just fractured his hamate bone, so he's not on the active roster.
Wait,
he is on the 10-day disabled list. He fractured his left hamate bone. So that happened literally today.
Cool.
That he was brutal. Placed. Yeah.
Breaking news on Tino.
So there you go. And Zimmer, I mean, it just depends how much you want to stomach the strikeouts, because they're going to be there in droves.
They are. He can also run, though.
Yeah, he can run. He's already stolen a base. He's hit a home run. He's striking out 43% of the time in a very small sample. But he's also hitting. I don't know. I would guess a low average, decent power, decent speed. That sounds
sounds exactly right.
And the last thing, I mean, did you have any thoughts on Jose Barrios? He's been back for I think 3 or 4 starts and been damn good.
I mean, I have always liked Barrios, yeah. So this is what I semi always expected to see. What I was always cautiously optimistic what we would see, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah,
still, I mean, he's still been weird to see a twin starter miss bats, but I'm slowly getting over that.
Yeah. I mean, missed bats, and he's under a 4% walk rate. Again, it's not a ton of innings, but or he was before today's start. He's been very good and kind of exactly what a team that has kind of overachieved at this point needs to kind of stave off the coming correction. So,
yep.
Yeah.
All right, so I know we goofed on everybody earlier by skipping a few teams. So, Brett, if you want to now, you can get a last word in on Enya. Welcome back to episode 88 of Tino. As always, we'll send you out with a little housekeeping. Please rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever platform you use to listen to this podcast. Our last review is still someone complaining about us swearing from like 6 weeks ago. So if one of you could complain about us swearing, but also give us 5 stars to bump that down a little bit, we would really appreciate it. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Tino Podcast and get in touch with us through email at tinopodcast@gmail.com. You can find Brett on Twitter at BrettSayerVP. You can find Craig at CD. That's CD as in Chilean Beef Devourer Goldstein. You can find our producer, George, at George Bissell. And you can find me at Ben Carsley. Thank you for listening and have a good night. And in before Craig says, it wasn't Chile, it was Argentina.
Damn it. I was about to say that.
To be fair, you don't know where all those cows have been. They could be Chilean.
I actually literally went to the cow market.
Yeah, but you don't know that cow's entire story.
I guess that's true.
That's actually the theme behind Enya's next album.
It's Chilean cow migration?
Yes.
Sounds more like a Chili Peppers song. 88. Did not think we'd make it this long.
To be fair, we almost haven't.
It is
it is
a daily podcast.
Yeah. We should what should we do for 100 when we get there in like 2020? Make Sam come on.
I was gonna say that sounds like a problem for future Ben. Yeah. Craig and Brett and George.
By that point, yeah. Mal will be hosting. Ooh, he'll be the only one.
The rest of us will not be here.
Yes.
Listen, man, my body is full of beef.